Would you stand with me as we sing this morning? He has done great things. Sing with us. Come, let us.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Compare them to Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great.
Be seated.
Well, it's good to have you with us here this morning as we come together, as always, to enjoy the person of our God and to be able to be standing ready to declare Him, celebrate His goodness and who He is. And as always, we're grateful for the opportunities to gather each week as we come into this place and to share in the fellowship, the joy that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. And I hope that if you're visiting with us here today, that first of all, you will have been greeted and made feel welcome, but also, if you would take a moment, take a time to just fill out one of our connection cards. You can also zoom in on that little QR code, and that just gives us a record of your visit, and we'd love to connect with you even afterwards if you'd give us the opportunity to do so. As we go into this morning, again, there's a few things that are a little bit different today that we're going to be enjoying. You'll notice that we've got a lot more of our kids in here with us. This is what we call a big church Sunday. My mind just went phew, and it's been VBS all last week, and so today we're going to have an opportunity to kind of recap a little bit of that, and in fact, some of our kids are going to make ready to sing here in just a little bit, and we're going to sing a couple songs with you, and we're going to see if you can follow the motions that they've been learning all week. And we had a great week, a good turnout, and just a real neat opportunity to celebrate the gospel in the lives of the characters of Scripture, but also teaching them about the armor of God and so many things. And I'll let Sandy fill you in on all of that in just a little bit. We also today will be observing the communion. And so as you came in, there are these little cups. They're an all-in-one with the juice and the bread. And I hope that you picked one up. When the time comes and we do that, our ushers will go back through. And if you walked in and didn't see that, don't feel embarrassed by that at least bit. We have a way of getting one in your hands. And we'll do that later on. But just want to remind you that that's what we are observing today as well. There are several that we're praying for. And ones that we are very mindful of. We've got a very good list of names there. We try our best to convey on a weekly basis names of people that we're praying for and just be in prayer for them. I'm just thinking that there's one, Sarah, I think this is your last Sunday with us, all right? So pray for Sarah as she's heading back to China to start another semester of teaching here soon. And so be in prayer for her. This is her last Sunday with us. And make sure that you get by and talk with her. But others that we're praying for, and we've got several here that have some really important needs in their life, and the ones that are there, and ones that we continue to pray for and ask the Lord to give them strength in these days. Missionary of the Week, Fred Bennett, and I appreciate what Fred and Beth are doing and continuing to reach into Jewish communities and reminding us as a church of the value of understanding the roots of the gospel being presented to us through the person of Jesus Christ through the lineage of Abraham, but also now opened up to the rest of the world, the Gentiles. And just appreciate the work that they're doing, and so be in prayer for them. So if you would, let's join our hearts in prayer, dedicating some time. And what I'm going to ask is for those kids that are going to be helping with the singing this morning, you're going to be helping Jackie out. I'm going to have you just come on up here right now. Come on and just fill in this platform or this main floor here. And those kids that were part of VBS going to come and do that. And then we'll have a time of prayer. And then Jackie's going to lead us in these songs and things. And so these are some of the faces of our kids and community kids, and just grateful for what the Lord allowed us. We had good turnout, like I said. And this way, Walt, come back over here, bud, and he'll find his way. He always does, right, Keely? And all right, very good. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to dedicate our time as we think about, draw the children to us, as we think about what God is doing in our own church, our own lives. Praying for these specifically, ask the Lord to continue to guide and direct. Father, grateful for this morning. Thank you for what you've given to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news that we have hope, not just in this life, but especially in the one to come, knowing and acknowledging that there is a way to deal with our sin and that you are the forgiver. You are the sustainer of our life. You're the one who gives to us a quality of life that is called eternity. And I pray that you'll reward our hearts this morning. May we be refreshed in our fellowship, our time together, as we spend time in singing, in the remembrance of you and the communion, but as we open your word, and then as we get to re-engage with people, the fellowship, the body of believers, just grateful for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. So bless this morning, I pray. And Lord, those that are not with us because of circumstances, because of providence, or more than thinking about those specifically who are really struggling with some specific health needs. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to give strength and recovery. Lord, and those that are working with doctors, those who are under the care of those that are caring for them, I pray, God, that you would strengthen those that are laboring together with them. So bless now, I pray, and give us an encouraged hearts even today. In Christ's name, amen. Take it away, Jackie.
There's two kingdoms, but they're not the same. There's only one king who will never change. There's a kingdom of lies, fear and shame, and a kingdom of truth where Jesus reigns. Kingdom keepers make a sound. The King of Kings, he has been crowned. We stand for truth, we'll stand this day, 'cause Jesus is the only way. There's two kingdoms,
righteousness,
the breastplate of righteousness,
and shoes for your feet,
and shoes for your feet.
We're ready to take the gospel of peace.
Ready to take the gospel of peace.
Hey, that's how. Your way.
'Cause flame and darts are coming
and
your
take
way.
The helmet of salvation.
Take the helmet of salvation.
And the sword of the Spirit,
which is the word of God. That's how we put on the armor of God. That's how we put on the armor of God. That's how we put on the armor of God.
Till the end of the day, we're gonna pray, pray, pray. With all perseverance for all of the saints.
Woo! That's how we put on the armor of God. That's how we put on the armor of God. That's how we put on the armor of God.
Huzzah! Oh, you guys got that right away. Huzzah is good morning in Castle Speak. We are glad that you're here. To all of our VBS visitors, we're so glad you've joined us this morning. For those of you who were not at VBS but are here, we're celebrating some of the good things that God did this last week at our VBS program. On Thursday, we wrapped up a great week of VBS. We had over 100 kids with us each night, and it was a really fun group of kids. They brought a lot of energy and excitement and were ready to go each night. Our focus this week was on the armor of God, as you could tell from the songs, and how to use that armor to fight against the lies of the world and join God in the fight for his good kingdom. VBS is one of those things that needs a unified team to run well, and I have been praising God for the team that God brought this year. Just worked together so well, was ready each night with a lot of excitement and energy for the kids. And I'm not going to name everybody, but two people I'd like to just quickly give a shout out to are Lauren Fry and Keely Robinson. They worked really hard to transform this place into a medieval castle. And you can see here's some of the energy that came each night. So I'd like to just, we would all like to thank you. So if you were a part of VBS in any way, snacks, decorations, teaching, leading, games, any of those things, please stand so we can just say thank you to you this morning. And I know that even more are not here with us this morning that helped out. It's a large number of people that you need for this kind of thing, so we're grateful for that. Also very grateful for those of you who prayed us through the week. I think we can give testament to the good things God has done because of your prayers for us, so we're grateful for that. One other thing that we got to watch God do through the week was our giving project, so I'm gonna ask Caitlin Pollock to come up for a minute. We started out the week telling the kids about Caitlin and her kids in Kenya that she lives with and works with. And one thing we love about Caitlin is that she just does all things kids. And so the thing that we focused on with her is her outreaches that they put on for their community. And they do things like meals, they have kids come play on the playgrounds, they present the gospel to all the people there. So kind of like a VBS esque thing. And so we wanted to get in on supporting that. And they have close to now 1,000 people coming to these things. And it costs them about $350 for each outreach to supply the things they need for that. So we just started out our week with the goal of, let's see how many outreaches we can fill for them. And so on night one, before I had even presented what this was, we had somebody so sweetly bring in $2. That was our starting point. And just you could see through the week God putting excitement in giving on these kids' hearts. There were stories of kids who were, their parents didn't know until after the fact that they were giving some of their saved money to these kids in the project. So just really, really neat to watch God move in their hearts. So by night three, we had reached one full outreach. So we had $397 by night three. And the last night of EBS, we challenged the kids with a Mission Mania night to just bring in whatever God had on their hearts for it. And if you could have heard the cheers when we presented what we had brought in, it was pretty amazing. So on the last night, we had enough from our VBS kids that we got six full outreaches and collected $2,141. But another part of this was that we had somebody come up to us midweek who wanted to match what was given, and up to $3,000. And so with her match, we were able to double that and provide 12 full outreaches for the kids in Kenya. So I told the kids, and I'll tell you now, God did above and beyond what I could have imagined, but that's who our God is, so I should not have been surprised about that. But again, just thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your participation in that. And we have our giving box open this morning. Any extra just helps give them the freedom to provide for growth through this and to host more outreaches as they see fit. So our treasure box is on the table out there if you'd like to give toward this. But we're really grateful for what God did and for your participation in it.
Thanks, Eddie. I know many of the parents know this already, but Sandy is doing a great job, and Jen, they just make a great team together. So when you see Sandy Grimacki and Jen Grieve, really thank them for what they're doing. Just trying to follow up with that. Actually, the next song is I Will Follow. I didn't really plan on saying follow up, but just how God leads us and how he loves and how God serves. We want to be like that, right? So let's sing about that this morning as we continue our worship time together, and then following that with Mighty to Save. Would you stand with me again as we sing, I Will Follow? All your ways are good. Sing with me.
All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. Knowing I will find soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy.
With me again.
Oh, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered.
be seated.
Let's take your Bibles together, go to the Gospel of John this morning as we take a moment to focus in a little bit on what we've been observing and also thinking about our role, our participation in many of these things. And felt like there's a section here that we moved a little bit past in our study here in the series that we've been in, this Come and See, as we've been looking at the Gospel of John. We're getting ready to get into some significant movement throughout this gospel, and I think it's important for us to catch up with a little bit of something that was done here in this story of the woman at the well, and to encapsulate it a little bit by a focus that turns from the woman to the disciples, and starting again there in chapter 4 of John 4, specifically starting in verse 27, and looking at some verses here, we'll move through to the end of this section that is dealing with them down to verse 38. But here in John 4, verse 27, it says, "And at this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why do you speak with her?' This is when then the woman leaves that water pot in verse 28. She goes into the city and says to the men, 'Come, see a man who has told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?' And they were starting to come out of the city and were starting to come to him. But it says in verse 31, meanwhile, or in the meantime, while the woman leaves and while she's having the discussion with the men and the individuals of the city, and while they're starting to make their decision to come out, so there's this little span of time that happens here in this moment where Christ has a conversation with his disciples. And meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' And he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' And so the disciples were saying to one another, 'No one brought him anything to eat, did he?' And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me, to accomplish his work. So do not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest. And already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life. And so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Father, I pray as we take a time now in our service to open your word, to challenge our hearts and minds, to understand our connection to your Spirit's activity in our life, to think about and evaluate the motives, the processes of our existence. I pray that today you would stir in us an understanding, an awakening, and an appreciation for what it is that you have for us to learn today. So speak as only your Spirit can. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation and your mind begins to play out all kinds of different scenarios? The other evening I was coming back over here, I was driving back to this facility, and there was something that hadn't been finished up, and so I was on my way, and it's after dark, it had been storming, and so it was really dark. And I'm pulling around, I'm coming around this north side here, and I'm driving around the street, and I'm coming, and I'm getting ready to turn into the parking lot, and I see these two guys walking down the street. Didn't think much of it at the time. I pulled into the parking lot, and I pull up here, and I come into the building, and I turn the lights on, and I go about, and I finish the task that I had to do, and I'm getting ready to shut the lights off, I'm getting ready to go back out, and my mind goes, where are those two guys? And in my mind, I'm creating all kinds of scenarios. I'm looking out the window. I'm literally doing this. I'm looking out the window. Is anybody around my car? What about behind that bush? Can I make it to the car, unlock it, throw my stuff, and get in time and lock the car? And this is where my mind's going. I'm like wigging out over the fact that I don't know where those two guys were that were walking down the street. So I get bold. I'm thinking in my mind, okay, what can I do to defend myself? Now, obviously, I made it to the car okay. I'm here this morning. I didn't have any problems getting there. I got in the car, and I mean, I locked the door. My mind was going to places. I'm seeing boogeymen behind every bush as I'm leaving this building. I pull out. I get onto the road, and I go on down the road a little bit to go towards home, and there's those two guys just walking down the street, minding their own business, totally oblivious that I was scared to death of them without cause. You know, I was thinking about that in the sense of reasons for fear, reasons for doubt, reasons for a frustration of life. And here we are in this situation. We come to a passage and we read of the reaction of these disciples. And they have built all kinds of scenarios. Their understanding is a little bit clouded by their fears and by their customs and by what was upon them in the moment. And they are building a case, and amazing who it is that they're directing the attention to. It's to Jesus. It's like they're misjudging his motives and they're being a little bit cynical of what it is that he is doing, having a conversation with this woman. It's a thought then, and this thought of the scenario that we see ourselves in, the tension is more about the intention of Jesus. What do you seek, and why do you speak with her? This verse tells us that they were shocked by Jesus's breach in custom, shocked by him even speaking with this woman. The response of these two different characters in this passage. You have the woman and the disciples. It's quite a contrast. Where the woman leaves her water pot there and runs into the town and begs the people of the city to come and see, the disciples are seeming to say, just not you. It's like they have a wall of deterrent. Oh, let the gospel be given. Let Jesus come to the Israelites and to the Judeans and those who are of Abraham's line. You can come and see, but not you as a Samaritan. And this passage begins a series of contradictions to the thinking of the disciples. And Jesus will over it again reach out to people who do not belong. I want to take this morning and just challenge us today and ask the question, who does not belong here? And think about our mission of sharing the gospel. When the disciples would shoo away even the children and Jesus would say, no, bring them to me. Or when the disciples heard of a man casting out demons in the name of Jesus and one of them wants to call down lightning because he's not one of their followers. And Jesus responds, if they're not against us, they're for us. There was a time when a woman would bring an expensive ointment to anoint the feet of Jesus, and again, the disciples would comment on the waste. And Jesus said that what she had done would be shared every time the gospel was told. And now we come to a time when they're wondering about the methods of Jesus. The concept of these two words, seek and speak. Jesus, what are you seeking? Jesus, why are you speaking with her? And it reminds me of what Luke would write in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And from the beginning of his book, Jesus would be recorded as being what John would emphasize as in the beginning was the Word. And so they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, eat. And Jesus basically tells them, but I was thirsty. Did someone give him something to eat? I have meat. It is like the disciples are just not clued in at all. And the way that John takes this conversation and shows us that God has a perspective that mankind is just not clued in on is absolutely amazing. The woman struggled with the request of the drink. Fill this, give me something to drink, and I will give you living water. Well, here, the disciples are there with hands, with meat. They have something ready to be offered to eat. And Jesus says, but I'm not hungry. I have the meat already. I have already been satisfied. This is not what I came here to provide. And when Jesus explains that his meat is to do the will of the Father, they again stumble at the double meaning behind what Jesus is saying. And Jesus uses this brief moment between the departure of the Samaritan woman and the soon arrival of the town of Sychar to get his disciples ready to reap a harvest. What harvest? It is the one that is coming because of the sowing that he has done in the heart of that woman, and because of the sowing that the woman will do in the lives of those that she lives with on a regular basis. And he begs the question, can you see the harvest? Look up. Get your eyes up. Do you see what is already out in front of you? It isn't something for which we must be patient. It is a time to start the reaping now. And this is now a challenge for us. Who and I are we not allowing our hearts to be open to sharing the gospel with? We need to start looking up. And so many times I think we wait for better moments. Sometimes we wait for better circumstances. We wait for a better building. We wait for a better whatever. And the mission of the church has not changed. The mission of us as his disciples has not stopped. We understand then that we need to be seeing what is right in front of us. See who is in front of you. From children to vagrants, from every tribe and tongue and nation, from the West Coast to the Ivory Coast. Someone has been planting seeds, and someone has been watering those seeds, and someone needs to be ready to take in the harvest. And as a person, when you think of your existence in this world around you, do you think of yourself as one who moves another person closer into a relationship with Christ because you are there in front of them? You know, I was thinking about this, and in my mind, it's like so many times, it's like I know that I'm a believer, I'm a child of God, I'm going to go to heaven one day, I am going to experience all the beauty that God has promised, and I have this wonderful message that I can share with other people. And sometimes I will let fear, and sometimes I will let the uncertainty of what a conversation might feel like and look like, and sometimes I can let the dread of the uncomfortableness keep me from being willing to share the gospel. But you know what really started to nag at me and bothered me more was when I go through my day and I'm not even caring. That I started my day and I ended my day without even an awareness of the multiple opportunities that God had given to me, and yet I kept my mouth silent. And sometimes it's not so much in the words, it's more in the conduct, it's more in the way I'm expressing, it's more in sometimes the watering, and sometimes maybe it's the planting, but it's a process by which, am I ready to stand in front of someone and receive them into the kingdom of God, into the family of God? Do I stand ready, whatever place God has brought me and that person to be a part of the process of reaching them for Christ? As a person, when you think of your existence in the world around you, do you see yourself understanding that when you move into a person's life, by your very presence, you're moving them one step closer to the person of Jesus Christ? Do you understand your participation in the process and in the plan? As a Christ follower, are you growing daily even in your own walk and in your own faith? And this is where you get into the rest of the New Testament, as God would take his apostles and he would begin to build the churches, and he would begin to build those beachheads of opportunity for people to grow. And he teaches us things like in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says in verse 11, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for this purpose, to the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, We grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, and from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Notice what he says here in verse 38. He talks to his disciples here as Jesus speaks, and he says in John 4, verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. As people from this city start to come out, and they're coming to this well, the disciples have a choice. What will they offer these people? What will they find that motivates them to face even their prejudice, to face even their bigotry? What will it that they'll find to motivate them to be able to offer these people who are looking for redemption, but they don't know it yet? They're looking for an identity, and they haven't found it yet. They're looking for a place to rest in hope. And they're coming to a well because they've heard a message that this is that one who has told me everything that I've ever done. This isn't the Christ, is it? The message that they had found was in a man who was sitting there, and to them he was the Messiah. And Jesus was the message. Jesus was the only solution to the eternal need that these people had. And these disciples are walking with Jesus. They're claiming to follow Jesus. They're claiming to believe in the very message that he is proclaiming, the very life existence that he claims to have. What do you offer people? It is not just good enough to fill the bellies and dig the wells. It's not good enough just to put clothes on them and offer them a blanket. It's not going to fix the greatest need of a person's life, because it would be just like handing them another empty jar and another empty plate. We live to offer Christ, but how has he radically changed you? We bring them to see their need of an eternal satisfaction that can only be gained in Christ. How has Christ eternally satisfied you? You need to step into the dark with them and step into the current of life with them. Step out of your door each day and go into this world that is just needing someone to shine truth and to be the life raft that they need. Bring people into a conversation and either plant a seed, water a seed that's already there, or be ready, because God just might have you be the one that helps them to come fully into the embrace of Christ. So we need to not let our fears, not let our prejudices, our unwillingness to see souls keep us from seeing what Christ has sought, what he was seeking. What do you seek? And what Christ is speaking into the needs of these people as his word permeates into their hearts and shows them their greatest need. And that comes for all of us, that we might look up. Get your eyes up. See your neighborhoods and see your workplace and see your schools and see your communities and to see where it is that you frequent and see that the harvest is already there. And that we are to do our part to be those that are in the way, allowing the Lord to lead us and be in the communication of the gospel, because we're living it, we love it, we share it. That we go forth to be where God has us being in that moment. Be part of the process to invite people to come and see. And in that moment, we fulfill a little bit of what Christ was going to challenge his own disciples. This woman, who doesn't even have a firm grasp on what I am, has already gone into a village and said, come and see a man who's told me all that I've ever done. What do you see when you see that city and when you see those people? Just not you? Or come and see. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I pray as we make ready to draw our attention to the truth of your person in the example of your body and your blood, that, Lord, you would draw our hearts to recognize what sacrifice you have given for us, what you were willing to do to give of everything. Lord, then what are we holding on to? And what you sought and what you gave your life to do to save those that were lost, to give to those that were away in the dark, that every time your light would shine, that it would draw attention to the need of their soul, and some of them would be repulsed by it. Some of them would go deeper into the darkness, but yet so many came to understand who you really were. You were hope. You were life. You are freedom from sin. You are the solution to death. You are the conqueror, the king, the shepherd. You are the water of life. You are the bread of life. You are all these things that we needed, and yet, Lord, we hold on to that message so tightly. Lord, may we be free to share. We've been sent to those who need to hear. We have been sent to live lives that are transformed by the renewing of yourself in us day by day as your mercies come to us and we experience the grace of your handiwork and the grace of your kindness to us. Lord, there's a world out there that needs to know about that. Lord, let us be a church that has our eyes up and that we see what you see. That we seek what you seek. Our intentions and why we speak to people is to move them one step closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see people coming to know you for themselves as the Savior of their soul. Lord, manage our times and manage our days in such a way where you give us the opportunities to be the disciples that you've called us to be. Lord, that we might be sent out to reach others for the good news of the gospel's sake. Lord, thank you for the testimonies that we've seen in the lives of these kids this last week and the seeds that were planted and the watering that was done. And Lord, we pray that in the days ahead we would hear of what you did to motivate the hearts of these kids to come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, for those, even those children that were taught about the armor of God this last week, that Lord, they would be daily putting on those pieces, that they would understand what it means to walk in truth, to have your word in their lives, even at a young age, listening to it, reading it as best as they can, having conversations with their parents and grandparents. But Lord, let it be that not just in our children, but Lord, where are the adults that are coming to know you? Where are those who need to hear the gospel? Where's the next generation of new converts coming from? And Lord, if we are stingy with the gospel, then we're letting the fruit die on the vine. Lord, let us see the opportunities that are ahead of us. And may we plant the seeds and water those that have already been planted. And may we be ready as a church to receive those who need to grow in their faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So teach us, Lord, to be ready disciples, and may we follow hard after you, that we may model you, emulate you in the world around us. Thank you, Lord, for your good news, and thank you that it saved me as a kid. I'm grateful for the history of salvation in my own life. Lord, let my lips not be silent in proclaiming you, I pray. And it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Strangely dear in the light.
going to take a moment now to observe, and you may be seated, the communion. If you have those cups there, I'm going to ask the men if they would to make ready to come here this morning. And if you did not receive one as you came in today, just lift your hand and there will be an opportunity for you to get one of these. Our ushers will be coming through as we make ready to observe this together as a church, as a people, thinking about what Christ has given to us and the sacrifice that he has given. Some people ask, well, I'm not a member of your church. Is this something I'm allowed to do? And the answer is yes, so long as you have a testimony of salvation. You know that Jesus Christ is truly your Savior. There's been a time in your life where you came to grips with the fact of your sin, and therefore your hope, your confidence in that forgiveness comes in the sufficient work of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, and not relying upon anything that you could do or what someone else could do for you, but a sufficiency of what Christ has done for you, an event that took place for us well in the past, but has that lingering effect, that power to truly change lives for every person who will simply believe on the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And that is your testimony. Then we encourage you to take a part with us and take in part with us this testimony of Christ, what he has given to us as a call to remembrance as we think about what he has called us as a church, as the body of Christ to do on a regular basis. And we choose to do it once a month. Some do it often, more often than that, some do it less. The point is that we're calling us as a church to think about, to remember what it is that God did for us in saving us and how he transformed our lives. He has truly become our Savior. And that means then that what we once held on to and what we once were living for must be different now. And the conquest of our heart is something that is different because of who now controls us and who is truly our Savior and our Lord. And so as we day by day grow in that knowledge and become those students of his word and disciples of Christ, we grow in that faith, we grow in that understanding. So this is part of that. This is the time for us to reflect on that moment, that event, that time in our life where by faith we accepted what Jesus Christ had done for us. And so I encourage you to think about that as we go into this time. Think back to when that event was in your life. I shared, you know, for me it was a seven-year-old kid sitting in a five-day club under CEF program and reminding myself of how many times I had prayed a prayer, but realizing that those prayers were not enough. Something that was said in that moment drew me to an understanding that I needed for myself to put faith and trust in Christ. Not just say a prayer, not hope in the testimony of a preacher dad and a godly mom, but to know that I as a kid in that simple faith needed to come to a grips with the realization of how much Jesus meant to me personally. And maybe that happened to you later in life. Maybe that's an event that has not yet happened. Boy, I hope that before you leave today, you'll take a moment, talk to somebody. Let us show you from God's word what it truly means to know that you are a child of God, that you're truly saved, and that it has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with him and the power that he has. I want to look at Luke chapter 22 as the reference for this morning, and thinking about what Christ institutes and what he gives to these disciples before the event ever takes place. And something then that they would, by the even Acts chapter 2, they would start to come back to this and to think about, this is something that God has given to us to recall ourselves, to call to mind what it is that Jesus has done. And so Jesus takes something that had been instituted for hundreds of years, and the time of the Passover, and he brings that to bear, and he says, now, this is a historical event. It talks about redemption. It talks about deliverance. This is when the nation of Israel comes out of Egypt, and they're rescued because of the blood that's applied to the door, post, and lintel, as the angel of death would go over the town there in Egypt, and God would rescue, he would save. And so he brings that lamb experience down to this moment, and he says, I am that lamb. I am your rescue. And this is what is about to happen. I'm about to apply my blood. I'm about to give my life. I'm going to be used up for the sake of you. This is God's love on display. He was willing to do this for people who still yet rejected him, who did not even know him. And yet in this preemptive act, God would supply for us a lamb that would take away the sin of the world and fulfillment of everything that Jesus had promised he would be. And so we come to verse 17 of chapter 22 of Luke, and he says, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, He said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. It's a different cup in the setting of this, but it's a leading into this heart of this time where he would bring them to bear. And he says in verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten and saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. And so today, we remember. We have our children in here with us. We set before them sort of like the pile of stones and say that we come back to this event. This is an event that happened in history. Jesus did truly live, and he died upon a cross, and he died for the sins of mankind. To whoever would be willing to believe in that sufficient work, they could have eternal life. And now as a parent, you have an opportunity to reinforce the understanding of that change, that transformed life, because you bring them now to the power of Christ in your own existence. And you get to live in front of them and testify in front of them. This is what Jesus Christ has done for Dad. This is what Jesus Christ has done for Mom. Has Jesus Christ done this for you? It creates an opportunity for you to share the gospel, even with your own children. And thinking about that then is the opportunity even for the children that are here to think about the opportunity that you have now to share in, to know if you are truly God's child. What does that mean? What does that talk about? What does that mean to you? And so we take this now and we open this part where the bread is. Be careful. There's two sides to this thing. Don't dump that in your lap, okay? We open that part there where there is the bread. And he takes the bread there and he talks about this as the symbol of his body, something that is broken. His complete being is mutilated. The consequence of sin is brutal. It's ugly. And it was life for life. And yet this time he just simply talks about his entire being. This is what I give for you. As we take this bread in hand, remember the brutality of what our sin cost Christ, but at the same time, how he and his humanity took our place so that you and I don't have to suffer the consequences of our sin. Jesus was willing to step into our place for us. What a mighty God we serve. Amen, church? And as we think about that, let us remember him. Take, eat.
Will you sing with me?
My Jesus, I love thee, I know.
Then he takes a cup and he says, this is the cup that is poured out for you in the new covenant. This is his blood. This is when life for life, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Life is in the blood. All through scripture, we are reminded of the consequences of our sin, but the brutality of it is also measured in the consequence of a life given for life to be saved. But over and over again, those lambs that were offered would have to be constantly done again and again and again until this lamb came. And when Jesus Christ offered himself, it is finished. And the sufficiency of his sacrifice for us, his life for our life. The beautiful thing is he didn't stay dead. Amen? And the beauty of that is that he can not only give us forgiveness of our sins and to give us something to have hope even in this world, but the consequence of eternal life was not put in jeopardy. The solidification of his promise that though he could take care of our sins and he could remove the debt, he could also bridge the gap and bring us from this life even into the next. That is the power of God, and only he can do that. And so our confidence is in him, not in anything that we could do to add to this story, not anything that we could do to magnify it in our own way. He is the magnification. He is the simplicity, and yet he is the complexity of the gospel. Jesus, what a name, and what a savior. As you take this now and open that cup and reveal the juice that is there, as it reminds us of his blood, as we think about it, in the sense that this is what he has given to us as we participate with him in this. Remember what it cost him and live for him in that same passion of love that he loved us with. Take, drink ye all of it.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and like his word, the living just.
Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. As we think about what is to come, as you'll notice, there are things in your bulletin, there are announcements there, there's a meeting that's coming up that we need to announce, there's the time together in our business, but also a ministry update, there's information in your bulletin about that, a light meal that we're looking, there's gift cards for our GBA family and faculty and staff that we're looking to, as a church, provide information about that in the bulletin as well. Just other things here that I hope that you'll take notice of and be aware of. Prayer walk that's coming up. There's different things happening. We've got our discipleship hour that's coming up here after the service time here, fellowship time. So just plan to stay with us for a little bit. Grow in the faith, the knowledge that you have. And as always, just grateful for your presence and the time that we've had even this morning. And it's been a delight to have our kids in here today. And I appreciate their attention and just the joy of seeing what God's doing in the generations of our church. And may God truly grow us to be people that love others. Father, I pray that you will lead us as we get ready to depart. May you be seen, may you be magnified, may you be glorified. Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand your purpose, your will in our lives as individuals, as you have placed us where we are, that we would be salt and light to a generation of people that need to hear and to know, that we might seek them. Or that we wouldn't just simply stand back and wait for people to come to us, but that we would reach out to others, sharing the gospel, being bold in our faith. Lord, let us live what we preach, though. May we magnify you in even our individual lives. May what they see line up with what they hear. Bless now, I pray, give us a great rest of the day. May you be honored and glorified. And Lord, bring us back again at the next appointed time. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.